Hello, everyone. Well, it was just today that Nigel Farage, leader of Reform United Kingdom, made some contentious remarks regarding the Ukrainian war. He said that NATO and the European Union provoked Russia, and that contributed to the war, though he did say, yes, it's principally Putin and Russia's fault for invading Ukraine. But is there any merit in what he says? And he's been firmly slapped down, said he's repeating Kremlin talking points and so forth. And indeed he is. But the devil can speak true. You know, if the Kremlin were to say two and two makes four, they wouldn't be wrong. However, in this case, it's not two and two makes four. So they are wrong on this issue. And indeed so is Farage. So what's actually provocative? Negotiating with a sovereign state that may wish to enhance security, or launching an unprovoked and illegal invasion? Which one of those is more provocative? Now, you can see why the Ukrainians might want to join NATO, because they are threatened by a hyper-aggressive and much larger neighbor. Now, Russia is the principal successor state of the Soviet Union, as Putin would never tire of reminding us. The Soviet Union bordered NATO member states, namely Turkey, Norway. Were there any others? No, I think those were just the only two at that time. Subsequent to the dissolution of the Soviet Union, Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia have joined NATO as soon as they could, about 10 years later. So that brought, Turkey doesn't actually border Russia. But so at the end of the Cold War, if I remember rightly, there's only one NATO country adjacent to Russia. That was Norway. Then there were four more, the three Baltic republics. And then Poland, that brings it up to a fifth one. But since this Ukraine war, there's been yet another one, and that is, of course, that's Finland. So he's made it worse for himself. Almost nobody in Finland was even discussing the possibility of applying to NATO, and Finland has joined, and then now Sweden has joined, which I know does not share a border with Russia, but isn't too far away across the Baltic Sea or the Gulf of Bothnia. So he's actually enhanced NATO, he's brought it closer. It has hugely backfired in that sense. Now, Ukraine is an entirely independent state, as even Putin himself has publicly acknowledged on numerous occasions. Ukraine voted for independence. It is true in 1991, the first referendum they voted against, but the subsequent one was about 90% yes. And there must have been some people who were even ethnically Russian who voted for it. Though you are a Soviet citizen, there were nationalities, one for each of the Union republics, a number of different ethnic minorities counted as nationalities. And you could only have one nationality. People switch from one to the other and so on. And the Russians are most advantageous, the state-bearing people. The Ukrainians and Belarusians not far behind. But some even Russian citizens, those Russian by nationality, will have voted for Ukrainian independence. Okay, some voted against and many abstained. But anyway, there's the Belavezha Accord signed in Belarus. They recognized the Soviet Union was no more. Ukraine was independent, so Belarus and Russia. Therefore, Ukraine is absolutely entitled to pursue its own foreign policy. And relations were actually very cordial in the 90s before Putin came along. But Putin is his unacceptance of Ukrainian independence and freedom, which is the root cause of the war. Now, independence and freedom are not always the same thing, but here they do co-occur. And he himself signed an agreement in 2003, again recognizing Ukraine as independent, and indeed recognizing all its sovereign territory, including the Crimean Peninsula. It was to change its tune about that 11 years later. There's also been the 1994 Budapest Memorandum. So Russia has signed and ratified numerous agreements about this. There can be absolutely no doubt whatsoever that Ukraine is an entirely sovereign state by any definition. So they're entitled to apply to join the European Union and indeed NATO. Now, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and the EU are not obliged to accept them. And indeed, if they are accepted, I don't think it would be for at least a decade into either. Put it this way, Turkey's been waiting for 37 years to get into the European Union. When they applied, it wasn't even the EU, it was the European Economic Community back in those days, in the 80s. So Farage is wrong about this. They're already NATO countries bordering Russia. Why does another one make such a big difference? You know, they're allowed to do it. And you can see why they want to, because, of course, Russia started the civil war in Moldova, is illegally occupying Transnistria since then. Russia started a civil war, indeed, in Georgia, and is illegally occupying Abkhazia and South Ossetia, which the international community recognizes as a Georgian sovereign soil, and so forth. Russia provoking the war between Armenia and Azerbaijan, are on both sides, Russia carrying out international terrorism, Russia murdering like British citizens in London, like Alexander Litvinenko, and attempting the murder of Sergei Skripal and his daughter, accidentally murdered another British civilian, murdered people abroad, like in Qatar or in Germany, various dissidents from Russia or neighboring countries, and on and on and on. Now, you may say that Putin's torture chambers on his own soil are his own matter, but it's not when they murder people abroad, setting off a bomb in a warehouse in the Czech Republic about 10 years ago, killing two security guards, some various arson attacks and so on other countries, major espionage, and all right, all countries with significant intelligence capability spy on each other. So I don't particularly hold it against for them. They do carry out espionage, cyber attacks in all sorts of neighboring countries, particularly in former Soviet republics. So it's not the case that there's been any provocation, and the Ukrainians desperately need this. Obviously, Russia trying massive scale cheating in the 2004 election, and the Orange Revolution stopped them in Ukraine. And so Putin wanted his puppet Yanukovych to take over. That didn't happen. Yukashenko took over. Of course, there was attempted poisoning. Austrian doctors just managed to save his life. But a very good-looking man, he was scarred for life. Now, of course, I don't have proof positive that it was Putin behind it, but qui bono? Well, who would benefit from taking out someone who wanted independent Ukraine? Patently, Putin had the motive, the means, and the opportunity to do so, and so forth. So they do the sort of thing all the time. We know that he's launched major terrorist attacks against his own people, like all those apartment block bombings in August and September 1999, or indeed the mass murder of Chechen civilians from the late 90s into the early noughties, and putting a terrorist regime in there under Ramzan Kadyrov. So it's not the case that NATO or the EU is being provocative. I mean, arming a country to defend itself is not provocative. Invading that country is provocative. Had all these weapons from various NATO and EU countries and Australia and so on, had they all furnished to Ukraine a few years ago, this war might never have started. But coming to 2014, the Euromaidan, those huge-scale protests in 2014, as a result of which Yanukovych, who was Putin's man as president, fled the country and went to Moscow, where he remains to this day. And then Petro Poroshenko was elected. That's it. So he was the president. And then that's when Russia invaded Crimea. Lied and lied and lied that these men speaking Russian in Russian army uniforms with Russian army issue weapons arriving from Russia were not Russian. Lied and lied and lied. No matter how absolutely overwhelming the evidence, they will lie and lie and lie shamelessly, tell the most barefaced, blatant lies. You would have to be staggeringly stupid to trust a single word that the Kremlin says. And then annex Crimea, and then obviously start of the Donbass war attacking Donetsk and Lugansk regions, the mass murder of foreign civilians when the Malaysian Airlines jet was shot down. In fairness to them, I don't think it was deliberate, but if you start an illegal war as a result of which innocent people are killed, surely that's murder. If it was a legal war, that would be different. I know civilians are accidentally killed in all wars. And so it goes on. So now I do try and see it from Russia's perspective. I have Russian friends and say, look at the case of the USA. Cuba was a Russian ally already. It's not really anymore. And then Russia was forming alliances with the Bahamas and Mexico and Canada and placing military bases all around there. That feel very menacing for the United States. Well, perhaps it would. But, you know, if the United States had invaded Mexico and Canada in recent times or the Bahamas, then there might be more reason for them to seek an alliance like that. And it is true that, you know, a century ago, the United States used to throw its weight around in the Caribbean and Central America. So, but Mr. Farage, he's obviously not well informed. But there are people who take his view, and it's right that he should express that. This war is worth discussing, worth debating. There are different opinions on this one. And I'm glad there's a gamut of opinion and the public have a right to choose in this. But, you know, his inane and unhelpful remarks, they underscore my conviction to vote against Reform UK. What do you think? Thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe and donate to the channel. Goodbye.